So I will talk about the tools the build service provides and how it makes packaging easy. So this talk is addressed to open source developers who want to build packages and actually don't want to care about how to do this because it's an annoying job. So the motivation to do this, when I talk about packaging, I talk about creating installable binaries of software for your users, so that users can install the software and use it. That's a necessary step if you write software, but it's at the end, and developers usually don't like packaging because for a couple of reasons. One reason is that it requires some specific knowledge, it requires specific skills which are different than programming or whatever else you do. So you have to know about RPM and how to build packages, how to create the rules and stuff like that, which is usually something you don't care when you write your C++, Python, Ruby, whatever code. And that's something which open source developers in many cases actually don't have, and they have to learn it. It's a new area they have to address. The other reason is that it needs a lot of time. You have to build packages, you have to wait until they are finished, so that consumes a lot of time. You actually, as developer, prefer to invest in improving your program. So this time factor is also something which is really annoying. And another big reason is that the effort to create packages multiplies with the number of platforms you want to support. So if you want to support different versions of a system, then you have to create different packages. If you want to create different operating systems, different Linux distributions, for each distribution, for each operating system, you have to create a separate set of packages. Then you have several versions of the different distributions. And you might even have different hardware architectures. So in the case you don't have the hardware architecture, you don't have access to it, you actually can't do it. You can't build packages for processor architecture you don't have. So that's really a big problem for packaging, because it makes packaging for a wide audience of users a very time-consuming and problem, and it takes a lot of effort. So our approach with the open source build service is to try to provide a solution to this problem. And we want to provide the tools which make packaging easy and address all these problems and try to solve some of these problems. So before we talk about the specific tools, I will give an introduction to the architecture, so just briefly show how the build service is built up and what components it has. And then I will go into the details of the web client, the Martlang client, and the upstream integration client, and the native GUI client. All of this was mentioned before, and I will try to show you and demonstrate how this works and how you can work with that. And finally, I will talk a bit about getting involved, because we are in a free software project. You can get involved, you can help us, you can work together with us, and be part of the community of the build service. So the architecture. I think the people who were here last year have seen this picture. This hasn't changed. We have the different components. We have these three tiers. We have the backend, which provides the storage of all the the building of all the packages. We have the frontend, which provides the interface for the clients. And then we have a number of clients. And in addition to that, we have the mirror interface, which provides the interface to the end user, the installation tools the end user uses. So the backend is meant for building packages. It does the work, all the hard work. It uses a farm of build servers, which are hosted in Novell. So there are available a couple of machines which build the packages. This is done in some controlled environment using Xen. And we are currently supporting two hardware architectures, 5086 and x86-64. And as somebody of my speakers before told you, this might be extended to other platforms. And the backend is also storing the sources and the build packages, and provides this for further processing and installation of the users. The mirror interface does the interfacing to the end user. It interfaces the packages, the build packages, to the mirrors. So, or the mirrors which mirror the SUSE packages and mirror the packages from the build service, they get synced and get the packages which are built in the build service. We provide installation sources, the metadata which is needed for installation by YAST or YAM or other tools. And what we also do is we provide a redirecting service. So the one URL you have to remember is this down here, the software.opensuse.org/download. And this URL redirects the requests of the installation tools and users' browsing packages to the mirror, which we know has the package. So you don't have to remember different mirror URLs, or you have to put a mirror URL somewhere. You just use this URL, and you get redirected to a mirror which has the bandwidth and the package, and installs the packages from there. So this is the URL you should use and advertise to your users. The front end is in between the back end and the clients. It provides a programming interface to the build service. This is done using a public API, so everybody can access it. You need an account to access it, but it's publicly available how this is done. You get access to the sources, to the build status, to the logs, to the build packages. You can control the build, and it also contains the user management and the authentication points. The interface which provides the front end is the OpenSUSE API. So this is the public programming interface. It's implemented as a web service based on a REST-based API. Users play XML over HTTP. So this is quite simple to use. You can use standard tools to upload, download the data. You can use standard XML processing tools to use these interfaces. I will show a bit later some more of this. And then we have the client tools, which provide the user interface for the developers and packages. At the moment, we have the web client and the command line client, which are our most advanced tools, most stable ones. The web client is a Rails application. I will show it later. And the command line client is a Python implementation, and I will also try to give you a short demonstration of how this works. Another client I would like to mention is the OC Upstream client. This was a Summer of Code project, and it makes it easy to integrate with Upstream SVN repositories, so you don't have to upload all the data manually, but some of this is automated. Okay, now let's come to the demo. The original build service, the public live build service, is at build.opensuse.org. There you can reach it. For the purpose of this demonstration, I will use a locally installed build service. You also can do this on your computer. Packages are available, of course, in the build service. So you can download the packages, install the build service yourself, run all the servers back and front end, whatever clients you want. And if you want to take part in development, you can also modify the source code and work with that. So that's the main page, the home page, the start page of the build service. I'm already logged in. You need to log in to get into the pages which you use to manage all your packages and projects. And there you have a list of different locations in the build service, the different areas. The list of projects, the search interface, the build service status. And I will now just demonstrate how to use this interface to actually build a package. So every user has a home project. So every user who is registered has a home project, which the user can use to build packages, to try out things. This is a private area, so there are no special rules there, other than the software you upload there should be open source. And you can use this to build your own packages. And We have some new features to classify stuff. So here's this rating area, and we have now introduced tags. You can add tags to projects, you can rate projects. This is pretty new, it's already active in the public instance, but it's new, so there isn't much data there yet. You can add tags and then browse packages by tags and projects by tags. And you have all the other information about your package. So if you want to build something, you create a new package here. You have to provide a name, which is the symbolic name. It's the name which is actually used in the API, so it should be some short string. That's what I will use for demonstration. Is I will just build a small application I wrote for my daughter for learning math. So a little exercise for training multiplication. So and I will use this as for the demonstration to upload to the build service and to build. So that's Edu for education, and let's explain this a bit further. I could put here the description, which is nice for users who do search stuff, but I will leave it out for now. And then create the package. So now we have an Edu package, which is my own project. There's no description yet. I could now add an upstream URL. This is useful if you look at the build service and search for packages, search for software, and then you get the relation to the upstream project where you can get the original sources and further information. Let's add some tags here. So this is something which also was mentioned before. We tried to improve the interface, and this is one of these parts which has improved by using Ajax. So it's not reloading all the pages anymore, but I can add a tag, education, and this gets stored, and other users can use it to find the package if they are looking for it. There are the users. That's basically for access control, so everybody who wants to modify a package has to be an involved user, a maintainer of this package. So the maintainers of the projects can add people there which also are able to modify sources, add stuff, add files, and so on. So then we have the file list of this project, of this package. Currently it's empty because it's a new one, so let's add a file here. So here you upload your sources, and I've prepared a spec file and a tarball, so let's upload this to the build service. This is this is something which is a bit inconvenient with the web interface. If you have to upload many files, then it might be easier to use the command line. I can show this to you later, but for now I will just continue with the web interface. Upload the spec files so that the build service starts building. So that's the second file upload, and this now will be listed here. So then we have the build status. If I go back to the project information, there we define for which distributions the software is built in this project. And for this case, we have to define repositories where the entry size of the build end. And at the moment, we have one repository here, which is OpenSUSE 10.2. So this the repository where the data, the binaries for the OpenSUSE 10.2 distribution are created. We could add other repositories, so there you have the complete list of the other distributions, and also you can do more complex stuff and use different projects which provide other libraries or stuff like that. So for the moment, I will concentrate on one package. Let's have a look what the build service is doing. It's not building. So let's have a look.
I don't think the schedule is running.
Yeah, you see the status there, the build status of this package. So it's unknown. Unknown means nothing has happened yet. We could try to have a look at the build log. It's not started yet, so building hasn't begun. That means the local build service doesn't do anything right now. So you say the scheduler probably isn't running.
Just restarted.
So how do I do it?
LCUBS scheduler starts.
You have to do it as one do it. Refresh the status.
It may take some time just to scan the repository.
Okay, so the scheduler has started, then in the background the build process will start. So while this is happening, I will show you how to use the command line. Let's make the font a bit bigger. Can you read that? So the command line client is called OSC. It's implemented, the design is based on the same principle as SVN. So you use OSC in basic in the same way as you use SVN or CVS. So you can access the repository, which is the build service in our case. You can check out data, you can add data, you can upload data, you can make have a look at the status and interact with the build service. So there's a list command for OSC, which is the same as in SVN, which should list all the data, which is on the build service. So this is the local instance of the build service, and it has some distributions, and it has my own project, which I'm using here for demonstration, and we also have a tools project, which contains some other data which I've used. So this is the complete list of projects. Then we can have a look at the project, and this what's in this project. So in this project there are packages, and here you see the three packages you have also seen in the web interface, and this Edo package, which I use for demonstration here, is this listed as part of this project. So I can also have a look at the package, see what's in there, and it will list me the two files I have uploaded. So to use this locally, to operate with this, I can check it out. So I will make a directory which I use for my work. And I can do an OSC checkout, and there I have to provide the name of the project and the name of the package, or just the project, and it checks it out and creates a local directory with a copy of the files which are also on the build service. So this is the project we have here. As with SVN, it creates a .osc directory which contains control information. So if we are in this directory, OSC knows the data of the project, and you can have a look at some can have a look at the log or the results, or check out data, upload data, add data, and so on. So we could, for example, have a look at the results, which is the build status of the build, and see what the build service is doing currently with this packaging. And here you see now it's saying it's building, so it's in the process of building a package. If we want to know more about this, we can try to have a look at the log files. For the log file, we also have to provide for which platform and which architecture the package is built. Because for one source I upload, the package is built for all distributions and all the architectures I specify. So that's a nice thing, you only upload sources one and it gets built for all distributions you specify. So that's the solution to this multiplication of effort problem I mentioned at the beginning. And this can be a really powerful feature. It can also be a feature which creates a lot of load on our build service, so don't use this without thinking, but it's there to help you build packages for various distributions and versions. So the repository is OpenSUSE 10.2, and my architecture is I.6.8, and so...
5.6.
You're right. Thanks. So this is the log file, and it shows the current progress of the build process. And you see it's installing packages. So that's the part of the build process where the build environment is set up. And all the packages which are needed to build the my software are installed in a change root environment. And there the package is built. So that's taking a while. And while this is still working, I will go back to the... Let's stop this. Another command, if you want to know what OSC provides for other commands, it has built-in help. So there are several commands which you are used to when you come from SVN. So you can add files, you can check out, you can commit, you can delete, you can do diffs, you can edit the metadata which is used for building, you can see all the different information which is on the build service. So you can use the, it's quite convenient to be used if you are used to SVN. Okay, well, the package is building, let's go back to the web interface. There you have the same information available. Now if you refresh it, it should show the status. So yeah, it's building. You can also have a look at the build log. Same information is here. So it's still installing. Okay, then let's go back to the presentation for a moment. As mentioned, there are some other clients under development. Three projects which were done as part of the Google Summer of Code last year are the one of them is the native GUI client. So that's a KDE application which uses the OpenSUSE API to access the build service and to provide the same functionality. It's still under development, so at the moment you can browse packages. It's unfortunately not possible to upload data, not yet, but this is work in progress. But it's already a really nice way to browse the information which is in the build service, to browse the packages, to browse the projects, you can filter stuff and see all the metadata in a convenient way. The other client which I mentioned is this OSC Upstream integration client. This basically uses a special metadata file where you specify where your sources are coming from. So you can add a SVN repository to your to this metadata. It's stored in a file called underscore upstream on the build service. Then you can upload this data to the meta, to the, this metadata to the build service, and then you can import the sources directly from this SVN repository into the build service by one command. You don't have to manually make tarballs and upload it. At the moment, it's available as standalone client, which is a requirement if you need some passwords to check out sources from SVN. We are planning to integrate this in the front end so that you can directly edit this data in the front end and don't need this client anymore. Another project was the app body, or this abstract package description or packaging wizard, however you want to call it. This is an attempt to solve the problem that you have to know a lot about RPM or other packaging systems if you want to create packages. And this is some wizard-based system which analyzes the source code and creates spec files you need for building the package from some templates and some information which is extracted from the sources. And this might be an approach to solve the problem that you have to know a lot about RPM if you really want to make full use of it. And if this works, you just click some a couple of times and get the tarball and the spec file, which just works. So that's the idea. I think we are not yet there, so it still needs some work, but it's one attempt at an interesting approach. So, getting involved, I promised to talk about this. There are several ways to get involved. As I said, we have a public API, which makes it possible to write on clients. So if the clients I shout to you are not sufficient, you have special needs, or you want to interface other systems, you just can use the API to interface to the build service. That's pretty easy. You can use standard tools, standard toolkits. That's no problem, just do it. On the other hand, if you just want to modify something, we already offer the build service is free software, so you can improve the clients, you can work on it, you can make modifications, you can be part of the developer community. You can work on the clients, which is pretty easy because the clients you just can install locally and interface to the public build service instance. If you want to work on the front end or the back end, it's better to install the build service locally so you have everything under control. That's also quite easy. As I said, we have packages on the build service, so you just check out the code from SVN and make your modifications there. There are, of course, other ways to get involved. You can build your own software, the software you work on, the software you develop on the build service. Just upload it there, let it build for the distributions you want to provide packages for. That's a nice thing. And if you are not, if you want to provide or use other software and want to provide packages, you also just can package the software on the build service. That's also quite easy, and people are doing it. And there already is a community building around the build service. So people are helping each other, and you see, in some cases you already have dependent packages on the build service, or you have somebody else working on the same packages, and you can combine efforts and work together on creating good packages for the different distributions, or of course also for OpenSUSE distributions. And that's something which is also on the list. You of course can get involved with the building the OpenSUSE distribution itself. At the moment, the build service provides some the data from the distributions. We'll be sending the factory tree out. We would like to have some more tools which make the process to be part of the distribution development into the build service. We are missing some stuff there still, but this is work in progress, and it will make it easier to also work on packages which are part of the distributions and get distributed by us. So that's several ways you can get involved. As I said, the API is easy to use. There's documentation on api.opensuse.org/api docs. It's a simple HTTP API, so you can make a GET request to the source directory, and you get a list of projects, you get, can get the metadata, and lots more. That's plain HTTP operations. The data is in most cases specified in XML. There are schemas there, so you can check your data you use there. It's pretty simple. If you want to get involved in the build service itself, you can get the source. We use the Novell Forge project, the Novell Forge service, to provide infrastructure like SVN. So this URL, if you go to developer.novell.com and search for OpenSUSE, you will find it. This is the project page where you have the links to the SVN repositories and involved members and so on, the mailing list, what you need. And if you want to check out the code, I put the URL you need there at the bottom, but you also will find it on the web page. So before I come to the conclusion, let's have a look at our package. And we see it has finished, it succeeded, and we have RPMs now. We have the source RPM and we have the binary RPM, which can be used for installation. And now if I go back to the, you could download the RPM here for testing, but your users should use the mirror to get the package. And this is listed here. On the project page, you have the repositories, and there you have the link, go to repository. And this goes to the URL on the software, opensuse.org server, where the people, the users, will get the package from. So you have the user, let's also demonstrate this. The user just needs to put this URL in Yast. It's pretty easy, and on 10.2 it also works reasonably fast, so that's nice. So I'm starting Yast now. There's the module installation source. There you can specify additional repositories where software is installed. We don't have all the data here. And then you can add the repository. So before I do that, let's have a look. So this link here goes to the public repository. As I said, I use the local build service instance. The packages are also available locally. Under the OBS directory, there are the repos. And here's my home repository. And this is the repository built for OpenSUSE 10.2. And I will add this in Yast. That's pretty easy if you have an URL. You just can you say add, then specify URL. Go to next. Paste the URL here. Click on it. And it warns that Yast doesn't know about the signature. About the key, and then you have added the repository here. Just click finish, and that's done. And to install the package, the user then just has to go to software management, look for the package, install it, and use it. So, this takes a little. So we don't have more installation media here, that's the reason for all the warnings. So it passes the metadata which is provided on the... Okay, and then we can search for the package we built. It's called Plutification, that's what's in the build source. gets installed. The standard yes procedure. And after it's installed, we can start it and see if this has worked. So, that is the small program. You can learn some more. It's correct. Great. And I guess there are lots of these little programs which people just wrote for some specific purpose. And if you upload this in the build service, other people can find it. It's built for you. You don't have to care about packaging. And maybe other people get interested. Other people realize that they wrote the same program and you can combine efforts. So that's a nice way to get involved with the community and or to create some community around your software or to provide the community which already exists an additional tool to work on your software or on your common software. Okay, let's come to the conclusion. The build service makes packaging easy. We have various tools to help doing the job of packaging. We have the web client, we have the command line client, we have other clients, you can write your own client if you want. So we provide a lot of tools and infrastructure which really makes packaging easier, and it depends on you and us and the whole community how good this gets, and we can improve it. And I think it's really a great opportunity to provide infrastructure and provide a service which makes the packaging step in developing software really easy. So the URLs, I think Adrian already has shown. We have the build service itself on the build.suse.org. We have the wiki pages where you can add information, read information. We have the mailing list, which is used for discussions. Or you can grab us on ISC, OpenSUSE Build Service, the channel where usually always is somebody working in the build service team or people building packages in the build service, which are available in there. So, that's it. Are there any questions? Any feedback? Any wishes? Yes?
Can there be specified some different prefix than slash user for a distribution?
For the packages, for the files which get installed by the packages?
Yes, I want to build, for instance, binary packages for non-Linux distributions or add-ons, and they have some prefix. The simplest example is user local, but could be whatever you find. Is this possible?
It's possible. It's up to you what you write into your spec file. So you can Do it like you want. Of course, it's always a good idea to use the standards which are used on the distributions you are building packages for. But of course, there are in some cases good reasons to use other prefixes. Yes. But that's something which you can just write in your spec file or whatever control file you use for.
Can be specified on the server side. So I say you have a package, and I want this build for several prefixes.
Maybe. Yeah, if you. If you want to, build the package for different distributions and they use different prefixes, then you. I don't know if you have prefixes or macros for this. Probably not, but that would be an option to use macros which expand to the right prefix depending on the distributions.
There are of course macros, but it depends on the configure scripts people write. If they can deal with different prefixes, then it works, and if they just have hard-coded paths, then you're out of luck, of course.
Any other questions?
What types of kinds of metadata are supported for the package repository that's generated at present? See, there's YAML music support for other metadata.
Yeah, I think we have, of course, the metadata for the YAS repositories. We have YAML repositories. That means Smart also works. We have other metadata, I don't think so. But that's
For Debian, we have standard Debian packages.
Standard Debian packages, so it's already quite some data about variety. Okay, if there are no other questions, I think, yes?
Well, for the Debian, you have to write the rules, the equivalent to the spec file, right?
Yeah. So at the moment, you still have to provide a